Colleagues, welcome back to the office and our presentation for today. This is Online Meeting and Collaboration Tools, Comparing Your Options, Part 2. This is the second half of a presentation we started a little while back, looking at the different meeting and collaboration tool options to help you be effective and powerful even when you're not in the office. More and more of us are working from home or working in different places other than the normal traditional office, and as such, we need ways to be able to stay in touch with each other, meet effectively, collaborate, share documents, and more. And in this class, what we're doing is we're essentially looking at these major platforms, products, tools, apps, services, and more to figure out what the heck works the best. In the first part of our presentation, we did a pretty good survey overlooking the different products and tools. And in the second half of our presentation for today, I want to dive in a little bit more. I want to help you figure out your approach for the different products and services you might want to consider. I want to help you understand your costs, the benefits, and risks of different online meetings. And then I want to take a look at some of the major collaboration and communication tools that are out there, from services such as Microsoft Teams, Microsoft 365, the overall platform, Google with its Workspace application, Zoho One, and more. Lots of different tools that you can choose to consider. Additionally, there's also some pretty nifty operational tools for line of business work that you might want to consider for your accounting, tax, document management, and more. And there's even pretty cool integration tools such as Power Automate, Zoho, and others that can really help push data from one place to the other. We'll also take a look at some of the essential hardware tools in this second section, figuring out the stuff you actually need from, for example, the mics and cameras to the mobile devices to the remote access tools and more that you might want to consider. Today's presentation was filmed at a recent State Society conference, so we're going to go ahead and take a look at that, and in preparation for that, let's just go ahead and quickly remind you that today's podcast is also eligible for CPE credit. If you are a financial professional, and I hope you are, reminder, you can get credit for listening or watching to today's podcast. Whether you're watching on demand or you're watching live with us here today, when you're done, head on over to cpetoday.com. Use course code OMC2, take a short 5-question quiz, and you will be well on your way to maintaining your license. You'll get a certificate that you can print out and hang up on the wall showing that you attended your class today. So we're going to go ahead and switch over to our presentation for today, and I'll join you at the end for some review questions and to finish up. Thanks for being here and enjoy our presentation. Now, are you choosing the right approach for whatever you're trying to accomplish? Okay, it's not just one way of communicating with people. Okay, now we do have plenty of web meetings, and I love web meetings. I personally would prefer a web meeting than having to certainly travel and get to and having to get in the car. But it is not our only method of communication and collaboration. Okay, we can use interactive documents, you know, using hosted services such as 365 or Google Workspace. We certainly have email and SMS. I tend to focus on email being my memo style communication. There's some things I need to put into writing. For example, I needed to revise our payroll calculator and our payroll calendar for our organization. That would not be a really good Teams thing. I want people to be able to refer back to it so they have a nice calendar of when they know to expect compensation to be delivered. Well, that's still a great reason to use email. And sometimes a conference call can be more effective than a web-based meeting. Although in practice, I tend to do both. I like to have the option for somebody to connect in through Zoom or be able to call in as needed. A lot of times I'm sharing documents, I'm sharing my screen. So, you know, having that web meeting is usually what my preferred option would be. Now, I've got some eight steps here to help you promote creating an effective virtual meeting. So I can tell you preparing is the best possible thing that you could do. Think about it. Even if it's only 10 minutes before the meeting, jot down some notes and you'll be well on your way to having a successful outcome. And then we also have the meeting itself in terms of what you can do in that actual meeting. So in preparation for this, nail down the details, put yourself an agenda together, know what you're going to want to achieve and accomplish. It doesn't have to be a crazy agenda. It could just be a couple of bullet points, but know that what you want to talk. Usually when I'm meeting with a colleague one by one, if we're doing a one-on-one meeting, I'll say, Bob, here are the things I want to accomplish. I need a decision on this, this, and this. And I also want to give you a quick update on this. And then I'll usually say something to the effect, Bob, what are your agenda items? You know, and depending on whose agenda is more complex and more time consuming, will determine who goes first. I generally try to focus on the low hanging fruit, anything that needs just a quick 30-second update, 2-minute update, and then we will leave the bigger decision making for later in the meeting in case we run out of time. I'm sure we've all been in a meeting where we run out of time and even the simple decisions aren't done, and the longer conversation dominated what we were doing, but we actually never got through the end of it. Get your low-hanging fruit done first. Absolutely send out virtual. Meeting invitations. One of my favorite things about today's environment is the fact that we can use services like Google Calendar and Office 365 to facilitate inviting people. I live and die by my online calendar. You know, if it's not on my calendar, I have no idea. I won't have any idea of it. And I love when people send out invitations, and the invitations will include, for example, the Zoom meeting link or the Uber conference meeting URL or something like that, because it tells me exactly where I need to go and how I need to get there. And I also like it with reminders. For myself, for my default calendar, I have reminders sent 10 minutes before the meeting, and that ensures that I keep the correct schedule. And usually I like to arrive a minute or two early just to ensure that everything's working correctly. Okay, now for the actual meeting, kick it off in style. Again, talk about what you were going to do, what you're hoping to accomplish. Keep it brief and short. Try to be the best meeting host ever. I personally find, and this is more of a client strategy, you don't see your clients physically that much anymore. You don't even see them virtually that much anymore. But for our client relationships, I always try to put the best foot forward as much as possible. And that means, for example, again, being prepared, wearing a nice collared shirt, showing that I'm engaged, so that they feel that they're getting value and that we are a professional firm for what we do. Now, the rest of the time, I mean, you can do what you want, but when you're going to have people coming together, try to put that best foot forward. Don't just end the virtual meeting, close it. Thank people. Okay, here are the action items. I'm going to send a follow-up email. We're meeting, Tuesday at 4:00 to resume. Okay. And again, that follow-up meeting can really, really help. There are some costs both to the organization and to that individual. Now, costs to the organization, certainly service subscriptions, services such as Zoom and Teams and Slack, they have a free version. But if you're going to be using this institutionally, you're definitely going to want the premium version of the application. And so there are some associated costs. Thankfully, they're not dramatic. And if you're utilizing 365, a lot of this is already built in, and so it doesn't really cost you a lot out of pocket. Now, I'm a big fan of having actually two different meeting services. In our organization, for internal meetings, we use Microsoft Teams, and for external meetings, we use Zoom. The biggest reason is that with Teams, you need to have an account, you need to be authenticated, there's a little bit more setup. Versus Zoom, I can just send you a link, you click on it, and you join. So from a convenience perspective, for the $20 a month that we spend per user, it's money well spent. But you might need one or multiple services depending on what you're looking at. Also, if you have any sort of compliance-based stuff, maybe, for example, your organization is subject to HIPAA or FINRA, Sarbanes-Oxley, or others, just realize that some of these services do not offer compliance related to those frameworks, and so you're going to want to always check. You might have one thing for client-focused meetings and another tool for internal-focused meetings. You could use some hardware, infrastructure, cameras, microphones, speakerphones, headsets, and more. There could certainly be some setup and maintenance that goes along with it, security and compliance and training. Many of these costs are relatively minor. On the individual side, internet is important. I always recommend a minimum of 25 megabits per user for connectivity, and that should give you enough to be able to meet online, stream,
services, access documents, and more. Certainly, the employee is going to need their own technology set up, a good workspace to be able to conduct that meeting. Now, is the employee going to pay for it, or are you going to pay for it? I tend to focus on, again, that expense reimbursement. That's worked out well for us. That way, the employee isn't having to come completely out of pocket, and we're also still getting a tremendous amount of cost savings. Additionally, in our company, we don't purchase the company assets like a speakerphone or a headset. You know, we can provide an expense reimbursement and let the employee choose what they want. I don't really want to carry that equipment on my balance sheet. It's minor. You know, I also don't want to be responsible for it if it breaks, you know, so we provide that expense reimbursement. The employee can get whatever they'd like. A big piece of this also is training. You know, I can say that with respect to your staff, you need to have a hard conversation with yourself and understand the limitations of the staff that you have. And for staff that maybe aren't as tech savvy, you need to have a plan in place to deal with these people to ensure that they are going to be able to connect and work. Because if they have a bad experience, often it's going to blow back on you. And just having one person being very disruptive can be very difficult for an organization to overcome. Now, benefits gives you the ability to recruit from anywhere. Scalability, you know, Zoom and Teams are infinite capacity from your perspective. And it's easy to be able to go up and down depending on the specific needs of the organization. Backup is easy. You know, it's distributed. You know, if it's a SaaS-based application, software as a service, you don't have to worry about it. It works or it doesn't work. Easier performance management and measurement. Easier workflow standardization and process automation. From the individual side of this, work from anywhere. Okay, it's easy. All you have to do is have a computer and connect it to the internet. Gives us the ability to have our files readily available on any device of our choosing. I can access my OneDrive and SharePoint documents on this as easy as I can my notebook computer or my desktop computer. This makes my tools easily accessible and it's easier to focus on bigger tasks. Now, on the other side of this, some of the risks that we have that we should probably consider, if we can work from anywhere, so can our competition. And it's not uncommon, for example, to have an organization, let's say, based in Los Angeles that can have clients all over the world. They can have staff all over the world, but they can be and have competitors now in Florida and Connecticut and Iowa and other places that can easily compete against us. So this is no substitute, for example, for having good technology and having a good core business at the end of the day that allows us to be able to work effectively to provide a better opportunity than our competitors. We still have to consider security. So things like ensuring that our intellectual property is secured. We still have risks of our staff not being productive, losing company culture. It can be difficult, for example, to establish new initiatives as well as mobilizing teams. Now, risks on the individual side of this, well, an employee, could feel that they're easier to replace. I personally don't feel that way. I don't think that value is communicated by where you physically are located, but certainly that if you are remote, losing that company culture can also feel like isolation. That can also lead to feelings of like apathy and that, hey, maybe I should or could be replaced. But we need to kind of consider what the impact would be to that individual as well as that organization. So let's go ahead and talk through some different communication and collaboration tools that are out there. Lots of different options. Okay, whether we're choosing software for meetings, productivity, collaboration, portals, project management, line of business, and more, as well as our connectivity and hardware devices, such as our sound, camera, lights, and others. Lots of different choices to consider. Let's go ahead and talk through many of those options here. Now, when it comes to the physical meeting, you know, the software that facilitates it, honestly, you can't make a bad choice. There are so many different web conferencing solutions that are out there now. For example, we have things like Google Hangouts, really great solution from Google that's natively built into your Workspaces tool if you happen to be using Google Workspaces for your online communication, as well as Google Meet. Although, if I remember correctly, I believe Hangouts is actually being deprecated into Meet or vice versa. But the Google has a their tools. And even if you don't have an account somewhere, you know, like a Zoom or a GoToMeeting or something else like that, if you have a Google account, which is free for individuals, you actually get access to both those tools natively for free. And you can have up to 100 people directly inside of your Google Meet room. It's built right into Google Calendar as well. So if you schedule a meeting, you can click that Google Meet button and add a virtual meeting room to that as well. So no need to even go out and buy another solution. We have GoToMeeting. We have Microsoft Teams. My personal choice as it relates to internal communication. I think it's a fabulous tool for instant messaging, video sharing, screen sharing, and more. We have WebEx. We have Zoho's meeting product as well. And of course, we have Zoom. Now, as I mentioned, I like having two tools. I like a tool for internal meeting and I have like a tool for external meeting. The reason I like two different ones is for the internal meeting, I don't want to have to send an invitation every single time I want to talk or allocate a meeting space. With Teams, as an example here, all of it's built right into the application itself. It's super, super simple. There's presence detection. If you can see this, there is a little green icon that will pop up next to your name when showing that somebody is available. And it's red if you're unavailable. So I get a sense of like, hey, is Steve in the office? Well, even though we're maybe not in the same physical geographic space, that little green icon lets me know that he is ready and maybe he is ready to meet. So I can open up Teams, see that little icon, I can then click on the name and I can send a message saying, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? And then in one click, I can start a video conversation. I can start an audio conversation as well as start sharing my screen immediately. I like this flexibility. It doesn't really require me to allocate any sort of schedule. I can just ask a question. I can share a document. I can share my screen with almost little to no work. And so it makes it great for internal collaboration, whether it be just a phone call, a video conference, sharing a whiteboard, which is fantastic, by the way, if you happen to have any sort of touchscreen device, like a touchscreen notebook computer or a touchscreen like iPad. You can whiteboard together, and it's a great way for being able to collaborate and build out ideas. I can use this tool, for example, to share my desktop and share applications. We can do a one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many meeting as well. So I can have a whole company-wide meeting if I choose to do this. And it even allows me to schedule meetings and share calendars with my colleagues. But it all starts and stops with the chat functionality. With that chat functionality, we can talk and communicate and collaborate with each other like we are sitting in the same geographic space. Now, as great as this is, I like using Zoom for external meeting. The big reason I like using Zoom for external is I can send an invite to somebody. They're locked and loaded and ready to go. They click the link, you know, assuming they already have the Zoom client installed. They can instantly meet. We can see and communicate with each other. I don't have to make any sort of additional changes. I don't have to create an account for them. They're just ready to go. Now, on the productivity side of this, there are a number of tools that you can consider to utilize to serve, let's call it, as the basis of your cloud operations. Lots of different options that are out there. Now, the big three from my perspective are Microsoft, Zoho, and Google Workspaces. I'm going to recommend for your organization you choose one, maybe two of these applications. Now, in my personal opinion, Microsoft is probably the most complete platform out there, specifically the enterprise version of this, the E3 and E5. It comes in between about $30 and $60 per month, and you can mix and match licenses depending on who needs an E3 versus an E5. Zoho starts at about $30, goes up to $75. Zoho's strongest thing is the fact that it includes so many different applications, whether it be customer relationship management, financial services, expense reimbursement, password management, and more. Google is the least complete out of the three of these here, coming in, but it's also the most price efficient, coming in between $6 and $30 per month. But the benefit of Google is the fact that it is 100% cloud-based and very, very intuitive to use. Now, what these solutions provide is that they are a basis of desktop productivity. So think calendar, think email, think documents, think file sharing, and more. And they are really good for remote access because these services are cloud-based. Everybody who utilizes them are remote. With these platforms, users can create, modify, and store documents and collaborate in real time with each other instead of having to email back and forth. And there are a suite of applications. It's not just one thing, but a whole collection of tools that allow users to be able to communicate and collaborate like they're in the same physical space. Now, Microsoft, with their 365 offering, is definitely the dominant player in this market. They have a lot of different applications to address the diverse needs of businesses, and it is a set of cloud tools as well as your licensing for Office. So that's why it gets probably my highest recommendation and the one that I think most organizations are going to go with. With 365, you know, for that anywhere from the cheapest you can get would be their small and medium sized plans at $12.50 per month, going up to their enterprise plans at almost $60 per month. Well, it includes a whole suite of cloud applications plus your licensing for Office. And for a lot of organizations, that's a very cost-effective way of acquiring Office. And it's the least amount of investment in terms of personnel time. Office 365, Microsoft 365 looks, feels, and acts just like the version of Office you've always come to know and love. It's the exact same tool. It works the exact same way. So it doesn't require a large investment on the part of your staff to learn something new. Now, if you don't want to go with the Office approach, you've got Google. Google is probably the widest used personal tool. So this is probably the tool your staff are using already for their personal email, their personal calendar. So there's a familiarity with that. So it doesn't really require a lot of upfront investment to learn. And with Google, it includes all the stuff that you would get from Microsoft, or at least majority of it, like email, calendaring, word processing, document storage, and more. But it's all cloud-based. So if you're looking for an organization that's trying to minimize or eliminate any sort of installable applications and run everything through the browser, Google's definitely going to be the option for you. It's also very competitively priced at anywhere from $6 to $30 per user. And that price varies based off of on a couple of features, as well as the amount of document storage you would expect to use. Now, Zoho is that third option. It's that curveball. And man, is it a great option. If you've never looked at Zoho before, it's worth a look. It comes with over 45 different apps in its Zoho One portfolio. And it's got everything that you would come to expect from a cloud solution, like email, calendaring, word processing, and data storage. But it also includes a number of business operating tools, like accounting tools, CRM, customer resource management, relationship management, marketing automation, remote work, and more. It's a really compelling offering. So I've got some more information across these different tools, whether they be on Microsoft 365, Zoho, as well as Google Workspace. And you're more than welcome to take a look at these to get some specific options that you might want to consider for your organization. I'm also going to point out that this topic has been covered in depth in the CPE Today podcast. Again, available at cpetoday.com. K2 instructors and I have gone through in depth talking about Zoho, Google, and Microsoft, and many of the applications provided in these platforms. We've got a podcast specific tool. So if you're looking to not only utilize these services, but utilize them well, check out the CPE Today podcast, where we discuss many of these tools and their best possible use cases. Now, what is driving a lot of this? Well, from my perspective, it is these four components. It's, you know, kind of the ubiquitous nature and widespread nature of cloud technology. It's available everywhere now. You know, you can't really buy traditional applications anymore. If you really kind of think about cloud tech, it's available everywhere, you know, and pretty much every application that we choose to use is cloud based. You know, you're not really kind of finding any of the traditional thick client applications where you buy them and own them. Almost everything is being offered as a service now. Okay. We have the desire to lower cost. Okay, these solutions are, when compared to the traditional counterparts, more cost effective than what we saw in prior generations of the product. We have a whole generation of Google users and mobile users. We have users that are more familiar with using their smartphone, more familiar with connecting with their friends on social media, and more familiar with, for example, talking through services such as Zoom and Hangouts than they are, for example, being in person or utilizing existing communication tools like email. And this has also led to this kind of mobile society where we're all expecting to be able to operate anywhere, anytime, and any reason with any device, which puts a lot of stress in terms of trying to make all this stuff work. You know, there's a lot of work that goes into miniaturizing, you know, the different services to fit on this mobile device that I've got here. You know, it's not as simple as just shrinking the screen. We have to rethink a lot of the way that these services work to ensure that they meet those specific expectations. People just don't want a mobile website. They want a mobile app. And there's a lot of work that goes into it. And thankfully, these cloud providers, Google, Zoho, and Microsoft, have really stepped up to the plate. And by stepping up to the plate, they have created these applications that not only allow for that mobile work to occur, but to work really, really well. Now, a question I usually get with respect to the cloud productivity suites here: which one's the best? Steve, which one should I get? Now, full disclosure, I utilize all three, not only because as a K2 instructor, but there are things about each one that I like. One of the things that's kind of cool is you can mix and match different components of this. Zoho, for example, can be licensed piece by piece. So if you just want to use its expense reimbursement software or its financial software or its remote support or HR or CRM, you can. Google and Microsoft, though, you buy them all. Whether you use one feature or all the features, the price is the same. However, I can't tell you that there is a absolute 100% clear winner. There's different things about each one that I like. And I would say that beauty really kind of is in the eye of the beholder. There are plenty of folks that I've talked to that absolutely love Zoho. And there are plenty of folks that I've talked to that absolutely love Microsoft and vice versa. You know, if you were to ask me, I think that Microsoft 365 is probably the overall best value. I love that it includes my licensing for Office. I think SharePoint, Microsoft Teams, and OneDrive are the best collaboration features and functions, and they are very, very effective. For Google, I absolutely love the calendar and I love the email. And that's why we continue to use that application solely for email and calendaring. It's easy, effective, works really well. The spam protection, in my opinion, is the overall best. And it continuously impresses me with its ability to be able to exclude potentially malicious emails. And I love the calendar. I think it's an effective, really useful tool, and it works a lot better than what I would expect, for example, from Outlook or other tools like it. Now, on the Zoho side, I think the completeness of the application itself, you know, for example, the financial tools, the Office reimbursement, the customer resource management, ERP solutions, and just reporting solutions are really kind of cool. So there are things about each one I like. In your organization, you might end up having to choose one or maybe multiple. The good news is in 2021, they're all pretty cost effective and it's easy to be able to integrate them into your overall organizational way of doing business. Now, when you're selecting these things, here's some things to kind of think about. I would tell you to think of the collective needs of your organization and clients. You know, if I were to pick just solely for me, it would be different than if I were to consider, for example, the other people inside of my company. And taking the other people inside of my company into effect, I'm going to probably choose a solution that I think is going to work for most folks well, rather than a couple of people exceptionally well. You know, I would rather have something that is completely adopted and widely supported than something that is only bits and pieces of which are incorporated into the workflow. I also think about return on investment. You know, let's say, for example, you are with Google Workspaces and it's working well for your company. You know, it doesn't make sense, for example, just to dump it to move to Microsoft just because you want to move to Microsoft. There needs to be a compelling business reason because there's going to be costs associated with it. Not just, for example, the cost of the different software, but opportunity costs, the cost that means for your company, for training and other things like that. So I try to think about these projects in the lifespan and figure out what I can get my best return on investment with. Okay, don't price line the decision either. Don't focus on the totality of the feature set offered, okay? Unless users need most, you know, all the really kind of advanced functionality, most users are going to be fine with whatever you end up choosing. So pick the best solution overall that meets the needs of your company and then focus on getting it integrated well. Now, on the suite side of this, here are some decision points you might want to think through. User interface. Again, I think where Zoho and Google really excel is the fact that their user interface is very clean, easy to work with, pretty intuitive to use. It's not that Microsoft isn't, but Microsoft has its own Microsoft way of doing things. And if you're a Microsoft company to begin with, then great, that's the way you work. But if you don't have a kind of an invested interest in this, you might find, you know, the interface of Zoho or Google to be more effective for the way your organization works. Think about your file storage. How much data are you working with and how does that data need to be accessible? Do you need it on mobile devices and tablets? What does it cost to get additional storage if needed? Thankfully, all three offer significant storage to begin with and the ability to buy more. In my opinion, Microsoft's a clear winner here because OneDrive is a really fantastic tool. It's not only effective in terms of operation, but it also gives you the most storage space that you could possibly get with a cloud provider right off the bat without additional cost. Each user gets a terabyte of storage space, and the cost of adding additional storage is quite low. As well as compatibility with Microsoft Office, Outlook, Exchange, Excel, Word, PowerPoint, these are all applications we use in pretty much every business. And so I would want to pick a solution that supports that. And again, this is where 365 is a clear winner. Sharing and collaboration, you know, the ability to be able to exchange documents easy in real-time editing, the ability to work mobily. You know, if you're not picking a solution that has dedicated mobile apps that you can use on your iPhone or Android, you're missing a major opportunity for improved accessibility for your company. Now, how do these apps help remote workers? Well, it starts with the cloud. You know, the fact that it's not in your office, the fact that it is not physically in the same place that your office is, the fact that it's running in the Microsoft Azure data center or the Google data center or the Zoho data center or more, it doesn't matter if you're in the physical office or not in the physical office. The fact is every worker is remote. With data stored in the cloud, users can access it through that web browser or through a dedicated mobile app or a thin client, and they don't need to install everything. So it helps lower your IT investment overall and improves compliance and management of these computers and these workers because it's so much simpler and easier to maintain. An Excel workbook stored in OneDrive for Business can be opened up on the Excel desktop on that user's home computer if you allow it in your organizational policies, in the Excel online on their mobile app, or on the Excel online service on their mobile phone or on their notebook computer, as well as through Teams and more. So, you know, it's made essentially the accessibility of this so much faster and easier. Word documents, PowerPoint documents, and email is accessible through any device that you choose to use, regardless of Google, 365, or Zoho. Their file sharing and syncing services make the collaboration of this so much faster and easier. Now, all of this being natively cloud reduces the need for remote access to physical office computers and servers. My dad is also a certified professional accountant. And, being a CPA, as a kid growing up, I remember that, you know, in the early years, he would have to go to the office during tax season to work on tax returns. You know, then I got a little bit older. He would use this software called PC Anywhere that allowed him to connect over a dial tone to his physical office in the building, you know, from home and be able to do tax returns. You know, and then fast forward more, you know, they moved all their tax software to a remote cloud hosting environment through Thomson Reuters. You know, now he's physically working on those tax returns in the house, you know, and instead of having to remote into that physical office, it makes everything faster, easier, and more streamlined. And so we've kind of seen three distinct generations physically having to go into the office, remoting into my office computer and utilizing office infrastructure in the physical building to, hey, everything's in the cloud. Whether I'm in the office or I'm at home, it's the same experience. Now, this allows documents to be easily shared with internal or external users, so the collaboration of this is fast, efficient, and easy. The real-time document collaboration without having to email things improves productivity overall, and it makes for a better experience. Now, the old way of handling this by email really isn't collaboration. I mean, it's essentially a read-only document or a version document that once I send to you, I don't have an easy way of getting back, and I don't have an easy way of being able to reconcile those changes. Okay. So I tend to try to avoid email as much as possible with respect to documents because it just creates more effort later on. And there's a lot of tools outside of the three platforms that I'm mentioning. A good example of this is Adobe Acrobat DC, DC standing for Document Cloud. This is a service through Adobe for Acrobats, which is the main application for PDFs that are a fantastic way of managing digital documents using that service. So I would tell you as much as possible, you should try to seek out additional cloud-based tools because overall they're going to make your life a lot easier. Lots of different collaboration tools for facilitating this remote work. Some of my favorites here, again, Microsoft Teams, Slack, Zoho Connect should be no-brainer here. And in fact, with Microsoft Teams, I mean, it is the linchpin of digital communication and collaboration, whether you're having a meeting with people or that you are communicating through a phone call or screen sharing, or even working on a document in real time, it brings together the entire suite of collaboration experiences. Now, on the project management side of this, this gives us the ability, for example, to be able to manage people effectively without having to physically be in the same space as them. You know, for our staff, you know, we've never actually had a physical office. We've always been remote. But we have, and we're working on a dozen or more projects at any given time. You know, big software applications. I mean, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars, maybe even over $1 million of investment is represented in the projects that we work on. We build everything, you know, from scratch, whether they be inventory projects, mobile apps. We try to solve complicated business problems using technology. You know, and as such, we need to be able to allocate and assign work to individuals as well as team of people and be able to track that project to manage our deliverables to our clients. And it's become a lot simpler and easier. You know, the old way of kind of project management was probably through simple spreadsheets and just simply, you know, keeping track of who was working on what and hours and, you know, subtasks like this. But again, communicating of that was quite difficult. There are a number of really useful tools out there now. My personal favorite for simple project management would be Asana. If you haven't seen Asana before, it is a bonehead simple project management solution where you can set up a project and set up tasks and then set up subtasks, and you can assign those tasks to different people depending on what they're doing. They can track communication. You could assign files to it, and you can manage the whole thing through a mobile app as well as through email. And it's a pretty easy, simple solution. It's not for super complicated projects, but frankly, most projects don't need to be that complicated. Now, if you're, you know, a general contractor building a home, yeah, or building a hospital, you're probably going to want something more than that. But if you're a professional service firm, you're going to benefit from something like that being simple. I'm also a big fan of Microsoft Project, and I'm also a big fan of Trello. Microsoft Planner. Planner and Trello are what we refer to as Kanban-style project management, where projects are organized into cards, with each card representing a deliverable, and then it's organized using swim lanes. These swim lanes represent stages of the project. So you'd have a swim lane, for example, of like to be done, what I'm currently doing, and then done. And you drag the card from each swim lane, from left to right, right to left, whatever you choose to do it. The benefit being is that you visually can see through the status of this, where status is on any particular project. And overall, I find it works really, really, really well. I tend to be a more visual thinker. I tend to be a more tactile person where I want to be able to see, feel, and touch where my projects are. And I like the visual distinction I get with having cards in different places and being able to move those cards across the different stages of the project. In my opinion, Trello is the overall best tool for this style of project management. However, we use Microsoft Planner in our company because it is natively part of our 365 subscription. So it's just something we already have and something that we're paying for. So we choose to use the tools that we have. Again, I'd rather take a solution that is fully supported and implemented than kind of these rogue applications that only a few people are using. Now, for portal and collaboration, lots of options here. Docket has been around forever. It's a great third-party DMS and paperless solution that you can use to exchange files with your clients. If you're not using, for example, something like a Thomson product because you use other Thomson products or CCH or Intuit and you're looking for a third-party portal solution, Docket would definitely be a great option, as well as Lisco. Lisco is a really kind of cool document portal system for your company. It also comes with a dedicated mobile app. And with this, you can upload a document, assign it to a client. They can fill it out and send it back to you. Likewise, they can exchange other files with you as well. So it's created this great experience for interchange of information to and from the client. And one of the things I really like about Lisco is that you can assign something, let's say like the 8879. Okay, well, some clients are great. They're going to hop to it right then and there, and they're going to complete that thing right then and there for you. But other clients, they might need a little bit of encouragement. Lisco, you can tell it, hey, follow up every 3 days. It will continuously do that follow-up until you achieve the document that you're looking for, and it'll take care of it for you. Now, outside of dedicated mobile apps, you can also achieve a lot of this, for example, through your accounting system. If you're using Acumatica, Open Systems, or Zoho, they've got portal solution and functionality built right into it. Likewise, if you're using Teams, a lot of that can be built right into that and utilized in there as well. Now, on the operational side of this, we've got a variety of what we would call line of business solutions that if we're going to be working remotely, that we should, and collaborating remotely, these applications should be remote as well. So we need to think through our line of business applications, like our accounting software, tax software, things of this, certainly our document management, our accounting solution. Lots of different solutions like this that are going to be specific. Now, thankfully, in 2021, a lot of these solutions have been updated to be cloud focused. But if you're still utilizing some legacy software, it might be a good reason to start investigating other options that are out there. And those other options might make a big difference with respect to providing and promoting that cloud connectivity and the ability to work anywhere. Now, if you end up getting a bunch of different solutions, you might need to integrate these different solutions to work together. There are a variety of what we would call integration tools that are low code or no code that have pre-built connectors that allow for different connectors to these different applications to exchange data. These are what we refer to as trigger and action tools. A trigger could be, for example, creating of a client in my accounting software, payment of an invoice in my practice management software. Well, these trigger tools will see something occurred and then do associated actions. And it might be updating another system to show that that client has been created or that invoice has been processed. There are three tools that I recommend taking a look at. Microsoft's Power Automate tool allows you to design logic push that logic out through Power Apps to tie different applications that don't normally speak to each other together. And they've got a number of templates that have been established and pre-built connectors, in this case, to over 200 different sources so that you can connect, for example, solution A to solution B. You know, and this is especially great for Microsoft applications. So if you're using a lot of Microsoft stuff, you'll really benefit from this tool. You also have Zoho Flow and Zapier, as well as a CPA-centric solution, XCM Workflow, that can be really good for planning workflow and sharing data through other applications. Okay, so let's talk through some essential hardware, some essential physical devices that you're going to need to make this remote collaboration work well. Well, certainly a good high-speed internet connection is going to be essential. Whenever possible, fiber optic is always your best solution. However, other solutions might be Metro Ethernet, MLPS, or coaxial cable internet. And you can also, for example, utilize multiple internet connections if needed. You know, my router here in my home office allows me to connect over my primary internet access, but then it also allows me to tether to my cell phone to shift our home network from utilizing our primary internet provider to using my cell phone. Again, you wouldn't want to stream using this, but it allows for these devices to remain connected and allows us to continue to work. Now, in terms of physical hardware, definitely business-grade routers, switches, and firewalls. You can't go wrong with Cisco, SonicWall, WatchGuard devices. I'm also a big fan of Netgear, Meraki, and Ubiquiti solutions as well. And from the individual, they're also going to want to utilize good internet access as well. Whenever possible, fiber internet, 5G, cable are also really good options. And in terms of home networking devices, you get lots of options to consider in terms of what you might choose to use. A couple of ones that I will point out that I think work really well, that have worked well for me. First and foremost, when it comes to Wi-Fi, I'm a big fan of the Netgear Orbi devices. You can pick these up at Costco for about $400. And it includes not just one device, but typically three. There'll be a home router that will connect to your internet service provider, and then it comes with two satellites. And those satellites can be placed around the home, creating what we call a mesh network that provides better overall connectivity than a single access point in the home. That single access point often creates a single point of failure that could be slow, doesn't provide and spread the internet access, for example, from the garage to the bedroom and the front yard and the backyard. But this Orbi system with these satellites that you can extend and add more if needed will give a great overall connection to your home, ensuring you have good quality internet access wherever you go. Other devices I like a lot, again, I'm a big fan of Netgear devices, big fan of Ubiquiti devices. These all work really, really well. And then when it comes to anti-malware, I would tell you that my personal recommendation would be Trend Micro. Okay, Trend Micro. If you're buying internet, but anti-malware, you should expect to spend about $50 per household per year, or $50 per employee per year. Now, regardless of whatever technology you choose to end up using for your organization and for the employee, no matter what, definitely make sure that you are using the latest version of the operating system. Windows 10 is the best operating system Microsoft has come out with. Likewise, the latest version of Mac OS is the greatest operating system Apple has come out with. And it doesn't matter what you're using, just make sure that it is up to date and patched, meaning whatever updates are available, you apply them, especially security updates. Both ecosystems of products support 365, not a problem there. They both support, for example, solid state disks. They support, for example, the latest preferable extensions, whether they be USB 3.1 or HDMI 2.1. You know, just try to run whatever the latest and greatest you possibly can, because that's going to overall improve the experience and ensure that it continues to operate effectively for you. Now, when it comes to remote access, lots of different options here. These allow you, for example, from your office computer to remote into home and vice versa. My personal recommendation that you would check out would be TeamViewer. TeamViewer is actually free for personal use. So if you're looking to connect to a family member to help provide remote access and to resolve an issue, TeamViewer is a great free option. Another one that I really like is RealVNC, also a free solution for individual and personal use. Both solutions allow you to have up to five computers on your account that you can easily remote in and remote out to. Now, when it comes to physical mobile hardware, certainly iOS and Android are the dominant players in this market. I don't have a strong preference one way or the other. I would tell you whatever the latest phone is probably going to be what you're going to want to get. I like bigger phones because I tend to use this not only just for making and receiving phone calls, but as I mentioned, the mobile apps are as important, if not more important than that communication. As such, I've often used my phone, especially when I'm out of the office, to remain connected and to continue to operate and work. Okay, so we're coming towards the end of our presentation here. Let's go ahead and finish with a couple of meeting tools that I think would be really helpful for you. When it comes to meetings, having good equipment will make all the difference in the world. A couple things that I've done in my life, when it comes to sound, especially if it's going to be some sort of high valued meeting, being able to communicate effectively is going to make all the difference in the world. When it comes to your microphone, I am a big fan of the Blue Yeti. And in fact, that's what you're seeing right here. It sounds great. It's got good noise cancellation. And I find that it is a very good representation of my voice when I'm working in that meeting. And then you can often hear the difference between somebody with a great mic versus a poor mic. Okay. Now, if you're not going to use a dedicated mic, dedicated headset, which understandably, maybe that's not what you need, having a good headset also can make a big difference in the world. Personally, I am a big fan of the Logitech brand of headsets. I got a big old dumb head, and I find that the smaller, less expensive headsets don't really work that effectively for me. So I find the Logitech ones are a little bit more comfortable, especially if you plan on wearing them for hours at a time. Logitechs, you can get them anywhere from about for the premium ones, anywhere from about $100 to $200. I recommend that if you are going to get a headset though, whenever possible, you're probably going to want to get it wired. You know, the wire, especially if you're going to be talking for hours at a time, will ensure that, you know, the battery dies. Your conversation isn't just cut off. I also recommend having a wireless headset too. I'm a big fan of the Apple, AirPods. Okay, which you can use even if you're not on an Apple device, even if you're not using an Apple laptop or an Apple iPad or phone, the AirPods will work with any Bluetooth enabled device. And I find this to be a great option when I'm on the road with my notebook computer, you know, because I can plop those in. They have a great battery life, actually, several hours, and I could take a meeting and still be able to walk around the room. I like the wired stuff for the really serious business meetings that I know I'm going to be talking for a long period of time. And I like the wireless so that I can get up and walk around for the shorter meetings when I don't need to have that risk of my battery dying. When it comes to your cameras, lots of options. I'm also a big fan of the Logitech ones. You could spend over $1,000. I'm going to tell you that's not really needed. Okay. My personal fan right here are these 930Es from Logitech. They're 1080p. They look great. They have enough resolution so that you're going to look really crisp, but they're not going to break the bank with respect to what you need to connect. And they just work really effectively. They're also really good for travel. Also, one of the biggest things that you can do with respect to improving your ability to have a good meeting is to have great lighting and a background whenever possible, especially in a business environment. You don't want to have your kitchen, you know, in the background or have your family room. I'm not saying it's the worst thing in the world, but it does help improve professionalism if you look and sound great. And having great lighting is one of the absolute best things that you can do to promote professionalism in that virtual meeting. Creating a virtual background with your company logo is a great way to do this. And having great lighting doesn't have to break the bank. I've got studio lighting here in my office now, and you know, cost me a couple $100 and some hours of time wiring it in together. Likewise, I've got a professional green screen behind me. It was about $120 on Amazon. That makes all the difference in the world in terms of professionalism. But, you know, adding a couple of these additional options here, just in my opinion, make all the difference in the world. Well, that does bring us to the end of our presentation for today. I do have a couple of parting thoughts, then we'll go ahead and wrap up here. You know, in terms of working effectively and collaborating from anywhere, it really starts with people and ends with people, creating a good company culture. Some parting thoughts for you. Generally, with meetings, I recommend that you invest in people, invest in that personal communication, start conversations personally. Hey, how's it going? How are your kids? How was your weekend? I personally, as much as possible, try to meet with cameras on so that people can see each other and feel that they're invested in the conversation. I like to show my hand so people know that I'm not multitasking, and I like to provide summary follow-up with steps. Software, stuff that you might not have considered, good booking software to allow people to book meetings effectively can be Microsoft Bookings as well as Calendly, good timekeeping software for managing projects, good software for managing agendas and transcriptions and others can all work out to make this successful. So online meeting tools are part of your productivity suite. It is a thing that should be there and should be there all the time. And I don't see online meetings going away anytime soon. You need to be thoughtful about how and when and where and fulfilling this meeting effectively. And if you put enough resources and time and thoughtful consideration into this, you're going to have a good experience.
All right, folks, welcome back. I hope you enjoyed our presentation for today. And let's go ahead and finish our podcast with three quick review questions on the materials that were discussed in our presentation. All right, question number one, which of the following are steps for virtual meeting? Is it planning? Is it follow up many times with attendees about attendance? Is it spend time introducing everybody in the meeting? Well, I think we can all agree that while you could do all of those, it would probably be best just to do some really good planning. You know, I personally find in the meetings that I've worked in that have gone over the best that they are the ones that are planned and carefully considered. But it isn't necessary, especially if it's a meeting where everybody knows each other, like a regular powwow or a stand-up or something like that, to really kind of spend time with maybe of many of the formalities. Although I will say, I do recommend spending some time just everybody catching up personally, because I think that can foster some good relations for inter-office relationships with friends. And, you know, typically in a environment where people are working remote, that could be enough to be basically help create some culture. So I would say, though, the one thing you should do is absolutely plan it out. Here's our second review question. Which of the following are online meeting tools? Is it Microsoft Teams? Is it Zoom? Is it GoToMeeting? Well, you guessed it. It is all of the above. All of them are meeting tools that you can use to meet face-to-face with folks or just over the phone if you'd like. My personal preference out of that would probably be Microsoft Teams and Zoom. I love Teams for internal use when I'm meeting with my staff, and I like Zoom when I'm meeting with my clients. But overall, they're great. GoToMeeting is a good solution too, although I will say it's a little bit antiquated compared to what we see with existing solutions. Third question, which of the following technologies are needed for virtual meetings? Okay, connectivity. Okay, yep, if you can't get online, you really can't meet with folks. So probably being online would be best. A computer, smartphone, or VoIP connection. Yep, you're probably going to need one, if not multiple of those, but hopefully just a computer or a smartphone. Sound, absolutely. Unfortunately, we haven't developed our telepathy yet for being able to have meetings in complete silence, although I look forward to that day when we do. So I would say sound would be required as well. So the correct answer here would be all of the above. So in our second section of online meeting tools and collaboration, we discussed the work at home tools, both generic as well as industry specific. We talked about how work at home and remote work have different needs. And we talked about how some of the different technologies that you might want to consider, whether they be smartphone, remote access tools, specific hardware that you might want, as well as specific applications like Microsoft Teams, Zoom, Slack, and others for collaboration and communication. Overall, I think we're not going anywhere anytime soon with respect to not using these tools. So I think the organizations that leverage them most effectively are probably going to be the ones that are the most successful. Now, as a reminder, if you're a financial professional and you'd like some credit for today's class, you can head on over to cpetoday.com. Today's course code is OMC2. Take a short 5-question quiz and you will earn a credit for today's class. Super simple, it's efficient, it's fast, it's a great way of staying on top of your credits. As always, if you like our content, we'd love to know what you think. Feel free of reaching out on social media. You can find us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and more at CPE Today. We'd love to know what you think. You're welcome to watch us live. We're usually podcasting and doing live teaching twice a week, Tuesdays and Fridays. You can always watch us on your own schedule, though. You can find us wherever you happen to get your content, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, or more. It's always our pleasure and our distinct privilege to be with you. Thank you so much for your time and attention. Look forward to seeing you back in the office soon. Take care. Colleagues, welcome back to the office and our presentation for today. This is Online Meeting and Collaboration Tools, Comparing Your Options, Part 2. This is the second half of a presentation we started a little while back, looking at the different meeting and collaboration.